I want to introduce myself for those of you that do not know me, and those of you that really don't care about getting to know me. Which that number seems to be growing in these last days. I'm Bronk Flint. Hallelujah. And I'm running for... No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. So I pastor the church in Immokalee, Florida. And Jim is one of my best friends, and Kathy's one of my best friends, and Candy's best friends for both. And they come down once a year. They missed it this year because of COVID, because there was, you know, some concerns about different policies of the states. They come down once a year in February and spend, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 days, and they stay in the house with us. And you get to know people when they stay in the house. We've been doing this for years, and so we're still best friends after all these years. Hallelujah. It's great. It really is. I mean, it's really great. So we missed them this year, but the year's not over. Yeah, the year's not over. We could do something late and then do February again. So hallelujah. So praise the Lord. I want to remind you for offerings. We're not going to say a whole lot, but please, it helps. It helps this house, this ministry, and we appreciate. I know as a pastor, I appreciate people giving. There's not offerings per se where we're taking up stuff, an offering, you know, where we're walking the aisle. But there is a white box in the back. Turn it into a green one. Make it full. Hallelujah. And so please, and if you're giving online, you know, just give until PayPal calls you and says, are you really worth that much? You know. So hallelujah. The prophecies this week we're gonna try to, when I say we, Jim, the staff, get those transcribed as soon as possible, maybe just the next service. So this morning there was a wonderful, powerful prophecy. It was entitled, or we entitled it, The Art of Seeking God. And that came at the 10 a.m. service. So it's already available. It's transcribed. It's on the back table. So avail yourself to that before you leave tonight and read this, meditate it, get ready for tomorrow's service by listening to what God said and laying the groundwork. That was an incredible teaching this morning. Really was. And it just laid the groundwork for this week, and we're just so thankful for it. So it's in the back already, and we're going to try to have those prophecies available as the week goes on. Amen. Well, you know, Immokalee, I believe, is watching. At least they were trying. Where's Harry? There he is. He's up front. Your dad was trying to get us online. Did he text you and tell you? I think he maybe got it. So anyway, they're having service. Our Sunday night service, we're streaming this service. So that's pretty cool, except for the people in Immokalee. They're probably, you know, it's just like you get your popcorn, you sit down in a good movie, and you're like, oh no. They're like, you know, I love our pastor, but you know, we were wanting to see hear Gary or Pastor Jim. It's not for real, you know, for real. This guy, I drove all this way for, you know, so, you know, it's the penalty for living in Immokalee or close to it, you know. So, and all of our other friends and family that watch us at each service in Immokalee, though they don't live geographically there, we've invited them to be in these services when they're not watching Homer. And I understand he did an excellent job this morning, and we appreciate that. So all of you that are watching, that are Immokaleans, wherever you're at, praise God. This morning I was sitting up on the front, and I remember my leg was shaking like I was going real you know, real fast. It's like nervous energy. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that. I don't do that all the time, but my wife very politely leaned over because I think I was shaking the whole pew. And she said, "Honey, would you please stop shaking your leg?" I said, "Yeah," but I realized, I was like, "Why am I doing that?" But it was 10 or 10:30, and I'm like a racehorse. Every Sunday, I'm supposed to be up here, and I realized that my body was going through. It was already jonesing. It was like, "I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go right now." So I said, "Okay, I'll stop," and maybe I stopped. I don't know. Hallelujah. I want to introduce, the most wonderful. Jim said the most. He said the truth. There was a most beautiful lady here this morning. There's a most beautiful lady here tonight, and that is my lovely wife. This June will be 42 years. June 24th. Please stand, Candace. And, you can't, you know, the mask, sorry, we gotta, you know, and we respect that, and hallelujah, you could have pulled it down for a second, seen that glorious, you know, I get to be the one that's without the mask. I feel sorry for you guys. I mean, we need to do this, I'm all in, but, you know, I'm glad I'm up here speaking, if for no other reason. They told, you know, we flew on a plane, and flew somewhere last week too, so I realized, I figured it out. I told Candy what we can do, so you can. It's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm not criticizing. I'm just, it is what it is. But you're in an airport. Of course, you got to keep it on all the time. But we went in a restaurant that had the people walking right beside of us, and when you go right into the restaurant, everybody in the restaurant can pull their mask off, and you can eat. And then when you get to the plane, you got to. Of course, you got to keep it on after that. So you get on the plane, and then they tell you, so you got 300 people on the plane, or however many, I don't know. So they say, well, while you're eating, you can take your mask off. So we're shoulder to shoulder, and everybody takes their mask off, and you can eat with your mask off. So I told Candy, I said, here's the deal. I figured it out. We just buy a big bag of chips, and we eat for like 4 hours. We never slowly. Because they told us, the flight attendants, you can take your mask off while you're eating. So I was like, well, just, there's ways around this. But, you know, really, for your mask, try to look at the bright side of things, because there's a lot of things that you can do with your mask that you couldn't normally do in church. You can yawn when and your eyes will probably go shut, but they don't know they don't know how bored you are. You can yawn. And have you ever desired to stick your tongue out at the preacher while he's preaching? Like, I hate this. You can do that. I don't know it. This is your one time to shine. I mean, it's your one time. It's like, I've always wanted to stick my tongue out at the preacher. So, you know, so. So, we are so excited, Candy and I, to have Harry and Sarah Plamondon with us tonight. Would you stand up, please? This is our senior worship leader and chief editor on staff, okay? Hallelujah. And we appreciate them and Sarah's family. The Glimbas are down, Jeff and Tina and all those beautiful the rest of, you know, the beautiful daughters. And, Hannah, Phoebe, and Chloe. And we're praying that, I know it's in time, but we're praying that Jeff finally hears from God and moves on over to be with Sarah and Immokalee. Yes. Hallelujah. So we had one thing with all these, because Harry grew up in our church. I mean, he was just a baby when his mom and dad came there, and some of his sisters weren't even born. So we just had one thing as I was preaching through the years and telling everybody, You can marry who you want. Of course, they've got to be saved, you know, hopefully filled with the Spirit. But no matter who you marry, whether it's a male or female that's in the church, your spouse has to come here because we're going to receive revival. And they have to come here. So that was so wonderful, you know, and that I appreciate Jeff and Tina giving their blessings for Sarah to come. What a valuable. She's on our worship team, and she does a lot of editing for us. We've had other couples in the church in the last few years. One of the young men married a young lady from Omaha, Nebraska, right? And so they've got settled in. She came. He actually met her at one of the Tulsa conferences. So that was neat. It was one of the young adult conferences. And so that was really cool. And so she's moved down. She's been down for years. And then and Harry's brother married a young lady whose granddaddy, her papa, is a Baptist pastor. And she grew up, I guess, in that church. And it's not far from where we pastor at, just a few miles, really. And she comes, of course, to our church. But we're after revival. So I tell, you know, look, I'm not trying to be legalistic here, but yeah, we're after revival. You can't go someplace else. You're supposed to, you were raised for revival. Now, nobody from Grace Christian can fall in love with anybody from Immokalee. And nobody from Immokalee can fall in love with anybody from Grace Christian. It's like Civil War, you know. North versus South, and it didn't end real well with the South for the South. So, you guys, let's keep it in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this conference title was perfectly ordained by the Spirit given to Pastor Jim. Because if there's any simple assignment that I have, it's very simple, is to convince you, maybe of something you already know, but to convince you that revival is, it is now. And it is to be expected as if it were now. And that's not trying to, it's even to me past a point of faith, like let's believe it in. And I've got a few prophecies that I want to read tonight, if he so wills. But there's a high mark, very high mark that we're after, but that doesn't mean that the tide has not already begun to turn. And I believe in America that revival has started. I really do. And it's very, very unusual because we're living in a time where there's a great push towards Marxism, critical race theories being taught in our schools, very demonic. Those who, you know, are screaming racism are some of the most racist that there are. And our nation is being very divided. And in the midst of chaos, God is raising up the standard of revival. He really is. And I'll tell you, the Lord has had to change not my end game definition of revival. It's still the same. It's still Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It just looks just like the prototype, just like Jesus. But how it starts and where it's going and the momentum in which it's gaining. Some of you have been maybe following Mario Morello, if you follow Facebook, his Facebook page. He's having some incredible miracle and salvation services in California, particularly now in Modesto, California. And just people by the thousands really flocking in, and people by the thousands being born again in one of the most liberal states in the United States. And so it's a telltale sign that something has started. It really has. And so I believe that Gary sent me something this afternoon that someone had sent him, and I believe it was something happening just over the last few days in Springfield, and they were flocking in to a great big field. Thousands and thousands were flocking in to worship the Lord, and people being born again, and miracles taking place. So the Revival Now conference title is perfect. It's perfect for the time. And so if any assignment that I have is just to continue to reiterate and convince you, the Bible says buy the truth and sell it not. Well, I want you to buy this. If there's anything that I could get you to buy, is that revival is now. It is already in progress, and that we just need to move into this stream of where God is going, because it's not just a tweaking of the mind. It's not just a thought process change. It's an actual change of faith. It's an actual change of faith that now it's time for Joel's army to continue like never before, to rise up to their rightful position and do the works that he said that we can do. Amen. I didn't get enough amens. Amen. Hallelujah. I know you're... That's a mask. It's not a muzzle. Okay? Okay. So, woo! I felt that. Did you feel that wave? Glory. So Jim gave us the perfect message this morning that it's an infrastructure. He gave us the ground rules. He really did. And revival is among us. It's starting. It's starting to build momentum. But you have to have those ground rules. You have to have that infrastructure. You know, one of the things I've done is I have read on past revivals. We've showed films in our church on past revivals. I believe that they were, to some measure, revivals. But I absolutely agree with what Pastor said this morning. They were not supposed to be just for a time and just for a season. Just like the Acts revival was supposed to go on and on and on, the one that began in the original revival was supposed to be alive and well today. But because of man's doctrines, and because if you go back even to the Azusa Street, if you read on that precious, precious revival, there's so many things that we don't have yet in this one that was taking place. I believe it will take place, where the power of God was so strong that the glory of the Lord would come in, and I guess you would call it the Shekinah glory. We're not thrill seekers. We're not thrill seekers. But there was actually clouds, a cloud of glory in the place where people would just be totally under the presence of God for hours. Miracles would be taking place. All kinds of works of ministry would be taking place. But I say all that to say this, how that goes along with what Pastor Jim was preaching this morning, is that one of the things that stalemated it, one of the things that brought it to an end, one of the things that brought it to a crescendo that wasn't supposed to be, is the lack of structure, the right kind of structure, not where you put the Holy Spirit in a box, but because the Word, it was new. They didn't know, you know, the Holy Spirit was... Isn't it amazing that in the year 1900, Agnes, the young black girl, one of the first ones in Topeka, Kansas, after a long time of seeking the Lord, she was the first one in her group. Parham was the minister teaching. Brother Seymour was under his ministry. But nobody was speaking in tongues. But that's 1900. This is 2021. 121 years ago, it was a novelty. It was something amazing that if anybody really spoke in tongues. That's amazing. We think because it's been in the earth, obviously, since the book of Acts, over 2,000 years, but the digression of truth and then how things played out and how that it crossed the continents. But I'm saying that to say this, it built momentum once it got to Azusa Street in Los Angeles. But one of the things that stopped it was Brother Seymour, though a precious man, did not know how to allow or put into effect the proper, if you want to say, infrastructure without stalemating the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times he would just allow if you read about it, and I have, he would allow just anybody, you know, to come in as they were worshiping. And if you had a word, you could get up and give a word. If you had a word, it doesn't take the devil long under those kind of guidelines to bring in a lot of stuff and doctrines and different things that begin to bring a chaos that is not a holy chaos, but something that begins to destroy. So again, wonderful teaching. We're coming to a place, and here's the thing. Here's what we have not to be prideful of, but to be thankful, so thankful of. We have decades now, really decades, beginning with Pastor Dave, who was probably the most doctrinal man that I've ever met, that began to teach, and many of us are students, these ministers and myself, are students of his ministry. And I'll tell you what foundation that he's laid in our life as a result of it. So I'm saying that to say this, we're on good foundation. Have we arrived? No. Is there much to be prayed out? Absolutely. Absolutely so. But here's where I'm at. And I believe that if there's anything that I can transfer over to you tonight in believe and your believability that revival is now, is that we don't have all the knowledge. We still have to keep praying the mysteries. There's so much more to be learned, and there's so much more to be said. I'm excited about hearing from these men this week and hearing from you and hearing what the Lord is saying to you. But it is not, I do not believe that it's a excerpt of knowledge passed over that we're waiting on, like, okay, here's the revelation, and it just, once we hear it in our head, the next day we start emptying St. Jude's Hospital. It's not that. It's a process of presence that's going to take us present tense. We're already there at the door, but the transfer of power is a place of presence that is going to cause us that everything that he's been teaching us for years is going to come into fullness. Now, I know I'm not getting enough amens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the video this morning was so wonderful. It set the stage. I just saw that video and I was like, I'm 5 seconds into it. And I'm weeping because that's what I see. That's what I see for your future. That's what I see for your future. You're watching wherever you're at tonight, if you're part of this. And I appreciate that video because it gives us something to wrap our thoughts around and have a vision in front of us. Praise the Lord. I want to see, should have been, this prophecy, pulled it up quickly. Good. This prophecy came last month in Immokalee. The Lord spoke this through myself. It's called The Mindset of Revival Now. Turn. Thank you. Listen to this, please. Say to the people, says the Spirit of the Lord, revival is now. Can you say that through your mask? Revival is now.
Revival is now.
Very good. It's pretty legible. I can hear you. Turn to somebody and say, revival is now. Say to the people, says the Lord, revival is now. Do not claim it as if it was coming, but realize it and believe it and receive it. For the authority, thank you, Stan, for the authority necessary to bring forth these things is among you. As my kingdom has always been among you, stand fast in these days. See the hour and seize it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not look to the right hand or the left, and don't be concerned about who's praying and not praying. That's none of your business. What I've called you to do is to stay in a straightforward fashion going forward. You alone are enough to cause the revival. When you look to the right or to the left and try to figure out where someone else's spiritual status is, you bring your own spiritual status low. Stand in this place, look up to me, see the parking lot full, That's for all of us. That's for all of us. I heard Pastor Jim's message last week. Excellent. We really do have a problem here. We really do. I don't know how to fix it. I know they did it in the book of Acts. That it came on them in a day. It came on them, you know, the Spirit fell. So I know you don't have always everything perfect in the nursery. And so what are you talking about? Well, Pastor Jim did a message last week that I listened to about trying to prepare, and I don't know the title, but in essence, the nursery, the nativity, the place, and going to the next level. But I'll tell you this, I really believe this, and this is not just a BuzzFeed or something to solicit a wow, like, really, I really believe we've got a problem on our hands. I believe that when revival hits, it's going to be a joyful problem, but we've never seen the chaos, the holy chaos, like we're going to see it. And many, many problems like crowds, what do we do with them? How do we continue to disciple them? And you're here tonight for the purpose of going to the next level. You really are. You're here tonight being trained. You're here tonight experiencing, but also being trained for the purpose of taking the seat. I don't want to lose my place here too much, but concept. If revival is now, and I believe there's a high water mark, you know, I'm an absolutist, meaning I believe that it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, the works that he did, and anything less than that is not full-blown revival. But that doesn't mean that it hasn't already began. I believe it will catch up with us. Or we'll catch up with it, however you want to say it. But I'm telling you from where the concept, because we're talking about revival, and this is a Revival Now conference, or however the Holy Spirit takes it into each service, the concept of my concept, maybe not yours, I always thought, well, it's like this. The day it happens, we drive up in the parking lot, it's full, we don't know why it's full. We walk in and there's a whole bunch of people. The church is packed. Or, you know, there's several people there that just need healing. And all of a sudden it just, bam, it just happens. And people just, you know, just it goes from 0 to 100 and everybody's starting to get healed. Now that's the end result. Like you get 10 people out of a wheelchair and that's, and then we say revival is hit. It's hit. Or even maybe more subtle than that. You know, you get four or five, and I believe once we get into the more glorious part of it, every single person is going to be healed. Every single person. My associate today preached, and he preached wonderful. I haven't heard it, but I got some people saying he did wonderful. But Homer, I knew Homer for years. I didn't know. I knew him like I know you with sight. He wasn't born blind. He went blind because of diabetes. And that's not God's will. That's not God's will. Well, listen, if there is going to be a revival, Homer is going to be healed. Absolutely. If there's going to be revival, people are going to be raised from the dead. If there's going to be a revival, the works that he did will do also and greater, and that will be the standard. That will be the norm. But let's go ahead and understand that God is already starting. It's all, you know, there was a prophecy last year and said it's too late. It's far too late. It's already been released from heaven. It's in the birth canal. We've got to go ahead and just totally receive it. And one of our ways of receiving it is understanding that it is here now. It's among us. Go ahead and begin to talk it and begin to receive it, begin to go through the works. That he, you know, don't go start a street ministry just because, you know, you're going to prove that you believe it. But everything that he tells you to do, do it without hesitation, because now is the hour. Now is the revival. He said this, see the parking lot full, see the house full, meaning the church, see the field full. I do not just give you a vision to excite your senses, he said, but rather to believe that revival is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's amazing when he said here, see the field full. Pastor Jim was talking about last week, the physical academics of just having a bigger place, or and people saying, wow, we're not even full in this place. But we've begun to see, and I don't preach this like, you know, it's the revival, but the outside parts of it, whatever God's doing, we're recently, I've seen visions in the spirit inside of me of that field. If you've ever been to our church, most of you haven't, there's a large field there that we own next to our church. I see that full. I see that full. And one of the elders texted me from our church since I've been up here, and he said, Pastor, I want to let you know. He said, because he's involved in this in other areas as well in his own ministry. And he said, I'm checking out, you know, it was not anything immediate, but I'm checking out the size tent, you know, that we may need. We even talked about in a good way this is real sophisticated, a horse trough baptistry out in the parking lot. Now you can't have that here in Dayton in the wintertime because you'll freeze people to death. But he said this, divorce yourself from the old, say goodbye to the old, kiss the new, believe me for the Holy Ghost services like you've never had before. For only the leadership of my spirit will win the lost and heal and bring forth miracles, says the Spirit of the Lord. See hundreds baptized in a baptismal tank in your parking lot week after week. And that goes, that is for every church, however he does it for you. Dozens and dozens and dozens going under and coming up. See the salvation of the Lord among you. Speak it among you. Claim it. Do not say, when revival gets here. Speak and say these things. These things are well available to us now, says the Spirit of grace. Well available. Hallelujah. And then, as I move you, wherever you live, and those who come into contact, and those you come into contact with, as I move you, by my leadership, move out. Speak to them. And see if I will not solicit from them the response necessary to confirm the moment and bring the wisdom of the hour. And the anointing of my spirit will be there. I have promised you this in my word. I did not send you forth as orphans without my anointing. Too many have depended upon formulas, depend upon my spirit. Go as I say go. Do as I say do. My anointing is upon you now. The hour is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that revival is now. We receive it now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and as I said, it's not, I'm not trying to transfer something mental over to you. It's a spiritual expectation. When Gary sent me that today and Candy walked in, I was looking at it and I said, what are you looking at? Well, I played it I'm just weeping. I said, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. See, we're fat with. Yeah, Pastor, you are. No. The week's not over yet. Don't say that. We're fat with revival, but we're fat with intimacy in Christ. That's our foremost desire, to know Him. And as we want to know Him, then Joel chapter 2, the army. Let me just read, you know, you can turn there if you like. Joel chapter 2. I don't know how many verses I might read here. We've been talking about Joel chapter 2 and the Joel's army a lot this past year. But I'm seeing it more and more around me on a continual basis. We'll look at verse 1. I'll read in just a moment. I want to tell you this, that I'm seeing things, and maybe you're seeing things wherever you're at. Last week, Candy and I, we flew up to Nashville, and we married a couple up there that is part of our church, and they're part of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee. And there were people there from someone from Texas, some people from Alabama, and some people from Tennessee that all attend our church online. And they came down last year, a whole bunch of them, just a whole bunch of them, flew down, drove down, and they were in our services. But mostly young adults, mostly in their 20s, early 30s. And they are believing this, and they're receiving it with us. And there's something, there's an anticipation and an excitement inside of them that believes that the words that we're saying concerning revival and revival is now is really truth. It's absolute truth. You know, expectation carries so much. And we can't just get together like a bunch of cheerleaders and make ourselves. But I'm telling you, there's a Holy Ghost expectation that is coming upon us, even present tense. I said this the other night. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, any of those great faith, you know, old faith teachers or healing ministries. When you look at some of those old films and those old pictures, and perhaps you've been to some of these, I don't know. You could see crowds that were there waiting for the service to open hours, and the crowds would be by the thousands, and they would wrap around the block. You know, they would look like some kind of, you know, presidential campaign, but they would be wanting to get inside. I spoke of somebody that I'd went to see years ago in Florida, and I remember there were great miracles that were taking place. But the people came with an expectation. Part of what revival is a holy expectation that produces a hope, and hope is not ashamed, and love is not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it produces a faith through that expectation that something's going to happen. Amen? Do you believe something's going to happen this week? Glory be to God. Do you believe miracles took place this evening?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have Jamie come in a little bit. I won't keep you long. I just want to pray over. We're not even going to having you come to the front, but I just want to pray some prayers over you. Look at Joel chapter 1. It says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds, thick darkness, and the morning spreading upon the mountains as a great people and strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after, even the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, even nothing shall escape them." Now I know that some ministers will say, well, this is all just contemporary. It was all for their time. And I know, you know, God was bringing a northern army down, and He was going to judge. And there were certain things that was particularly for their time and season. But listen, Joel chapter 2 is the chapter that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. So it has New Testament relevance to it. It has an army, New Testament army relevance to it. And so when he's talking about there's a flame going before them, and when he talks about in verse 4, the appearance of them is the appearance of horses and horsemen, they shall run. And he says in verse 3, as we just read, that there's a fire that devoureth before them. This ominous kind of look, this fearful kind of look, is not the fear of the world, and it's not the dread of the world system, but it's talking about an army that's birthed in the last days, that takes on the attitude or the disposition of their Lord in heaven. And that Lord is the Lord of the angel army, and He's the Lord of the Joel's army. And that force goes out. It goes out like a devouring force. And I'm not, please, don't just go to the streets and your thoughts. That can be part of it, as if street ministry, but it goes into the wherever you live, wherever you work, whatever you do, that the power of God is to be expected in your life like never before. Because we're not we're not graduating to a place. It's that we receive it now and say revival is now. That which has always been, it's always been here. If it hadn't always been here, you can't pray in something that hasn't already been part of God's Word from the very beginning. But it's lost. It's been lost through the centuries. And now God saw prophetically that there would be an end time generation that would rise up and say, enough is enough. We want to see something that is a replica of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the works that we want to see Jesus services. You know, I ministered Wednesday night about what Jesus service, Kenneth Hagin used to call them, Holy Ghost services. But it's where Jesus comes in and takes over. And I believe that Jesus is here tonight. And I believe for a big part he's taking over. But I'm telling you, we're going to a place and it's getting there quickly. And if I didn't finish what I was saying earlier, the fear inside of me is this, is that there's going to be so many so fast in the days ahead, we're not going to know what to do with them. Hallelujah. I want to call Pastor Jim on a Sunday morning and his phone be busy and I can't get to him. And then finally he calls me back and I say, your phone's been busy for the last, I've been trying to call you. What's the problem? Well, I got a problem. We're seeing dozens and dozens and dozens and come, and they're coming from places we never thought. The connections are, it's impossible what we're seeing right now in the natural. And it seems like every week there's 15, 20, 30 people being born again. Do you know how many those people know? They just go, all you need, we're not talking about, this is not a church growth seminar. This is a revival now. All you need is 8 or 10 that has been truly, miraculously healed by the living Lord. That living Lord. That one, not that we're just theoretically and we haven't been, but I'm talking about where the power is transferred over. All you need is 8 or 10 of them to go out and share with their friends and their families. And that problem gets close, near and close. And it gets very acute. Real fast. And Jim's calling me and I'm calling Jim and we can't wait to, talk to Gary and the leadership out there because they're having the same. But it's coming, folks. It's here and it's coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. You're doing good. I can feel you pulling with me. Thank you, Stan. Like the noise of chariots upon the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of flame of fire, they shall devour the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, before their face, the people shall be much pained and all face shall gather blackness. That just means they'll be mesmerized. It sounds real King Jamesy. Mesmerized by what is taking place. It's like, my God, this is incredible where these people come from, what's taking place in the earth. In the earth where it looks, I thought revival maybe would, the revival is going to take place in the midst of chaos in America. It's amazing. It's not like we get everything straight. Only revival changes America. Only revival. It's not going to, if your hope is in some political person or a political party, I'm sorry, you're on the wrong bus. That's not revival bus. You need to get off that bus, get off that train, get off, whoever's feeding you, ask them to please stop the bus. You get off the bus, get on the revival bus, because that's the only one that's going to change America. That's the only one that's going to change America. And so it's going to take place right in, it's starting. It's already starting. It's not just in Modesto. It's not just in Springfield. It's here. This is a revival service. This is a revival service. We're not going to write about revival that it started when Homer's eyes are open, that's one of those ones that we're like, whoo, that's an uptick. That's wonderful. But I'm telling you, it started. It started now. before their faces. The people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses, and they shall enter in the windows like a thief. Let me just stop right there, and maybe that's all I'm reading from Joel. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, the excitement, when I was there last week, I was talking about being in Nashville. I shared this testimony. Those young men and the young ladies as well, and many of them are probably listening tonight, there was an excitement among them, and they were saying, they were picking me up, they're driving us. We had two or three appointments. We had a dinner. We had a rehearsal dinner. Then we had the wedding, and we had different appointments. It was a fast 3 or 4 days, and all they wanted to talk about was the revival. All they wanted to talk about was, we're listening to you, Pastor. We've been listening to Pastor Dave. Now, they've all been on this walk about 2 years now, 2 or 3 years, some of them. And there was an excitement and a fire inside of them. And I saw whoever was picking me up, every one of them, and they were just, you know, stroking me to make me feel good. I could tell even when I would try to change the subject at times, talk about something else, about Tennessee or this, they wanted to go back to revival. They wanted to go back to miracles. They wanted to go back to healing. They wanted to go back to the things of God. And it was so neat because we were at this really, really very, very nice wedding. And as we were there, one of the guys was, you know, I watched these guys, and they're like, and they're not obnoxious. They're very low-key guys, wonderful guys, but they're spying out the land. And the one guy leans down, he goes, hey, Pastor. I said, yeah, because I'm a few, you know, people down, because we're at the reception. I just performed the wedding, really nice wedding, very nice venue. And he goes, Pastor. I said, yeah. He goes, this guy next to me, he wants to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he goes, he's watched two of your services. He wants to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, that's powerful. That's great, man. So I didn't even get involved. And I look up, and we're still, you know, I mean, the bridal dancing and all is still going on. And I see these three guys following this guy out in the parking lot. This guy's got to leave. And about 10 minutes, they come back. We got him filled with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So praise God. But I'm telling you, the revival is now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Stan. Revival is now. Glory be to God. It's starting now. It's starting now. Hallelujah. And our worship is the thing that, listen, I really believe this. Revival hinges on presence. That's what it hinges on. Right now, my God, you talk about praying the mysteries. We're not going to begin to stop. More mysteries to come? Absolutely so. But it's, as I said, it's not that inkling of knowledge that needs to be passed into here that brings us, catapults us into revival. It is the presence of God that this revival hinges on. It's not knowledge at this point. It's absolutely time alone with Him. It really is. That's it. It's time alone with Him. It's intimacy. Listen, intimacy transfers the knowledge into power. It really does. Intimacy with Him transfers all of everything that any of you are standing on as in foundation into the power of this revival. Intimacy, which is worship, however you want to say that. Intimacy is the transfer of power. Intimacy with Him at this point in time, prayer, intimacy, it's the spirit food. It's that which we're being filled with Him. We have to come to these services. Fellowship is utmost this week. But your knowledge is only, at this point, just a part of it. The greater part of it is coming into a place where everything that He is in knowledge to you fills you full, fills you to overflowing, fills you to revival status by sitting in His presence. Amen. Let me read one more prophecy, and then we'll close with some worship. This came recently. I think you'll enjoy it. We titled this, Do Not Miss Worship. Know this, says the Spirit of Grace, that the most important part of every service, now or what will be for the future, is the worship, says the Spirit of the Lord. For my worshipers set the tone and bring into effect my spirit to do the things that I desire to do. And yes, one would say, yes, but the Word, you've exalted your Word above your name. What about your Word? My Word is exalted above my name. And will my Word, which is exalted above my name, will be misappropriated in this house, meaning the church, and among the hearers. Even if an anointed vessel brings it, it will not have the impact unless my Spirit is there to bring it forth, says the Spirit of Grace. So if you miss any part of any service now or in the future, do not miss worship. I will have you miss any part rather than the presence of my Spirit, says the Spirit of Grace. For as my presence rests upon you, you will be healed. As my presence rests upon you, you will be prepared to hear my word, which in effect will bring forth great change in your life, says the Spirit of the Lord. But where there is dry ground, the seed will not grow. This is why I continually petition you to come into my presence. Blatant hearts will hear my word anesthetically and just go forward. Never allow my seed to grow in them. Your children will not remember the sermons that will be preached, nor the lessons that will be taught, but they will remember the presence of God, even when they cannot explain it. Allow your children to sit in my presence. Allow yourself. If you miss any part of any service, if you zone out or go someplace, do not miss worship, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not miss intimacy. It is key. It is the key that unlocks my Spirit to do more for you than you can imagine, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not let others create an atmosphere for you. Create your own atmosphere. Let your heart worship me in earnest, in spirit and in truth. Do not even be concerned about the wee ones, the little ones, for what you see today as a necessity for my spirit to come will change in the days ahead. For as the masses come and the noise level is exalted to other levels because of just people, know this, that I will come in the midst of the noise. I will come in the midst of a God-given chaos. Your vision for revival has only been partially right. Even your pastor, that's me giving this then, even your pastor, has only been partially right. Know this, that in the days ahead I will take this place and turn it upside down, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not think, says the Spirit of the Lord, that this man prophesies out of his own spirit, for truly I will take the things that you see now as fit and proper and turn them upside down and right side out. But you will love it. You will come to love it. To start with, it will be a bitter taste to you because you'll not be used to it and it'll not be convenient for you. But thus saith the Lord, listen to this, convenience for your life is not what I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about you being able to leave here at a convenient hour or go home or go from here at a convenient hour or come at a convenient hour. My time schedule is not on your time schedule, for the masses are waiting to be birthed into my kingdom, says the Lord. And he says, I have here high priests and kings who will birth this in the days ahead and are birthing it now, says the Spirit of the Lord. Bring forth the sheaves unto me, bring them forth as you are now in prayer, of course, bringing them forth, but in the days ahead, physically bring them to this house, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship a little bit. Would you stand, or if you need to be seated, some of you, that's fine. But let's stand. Jamie, please. Hallelujah. Let's close out this service with a little bit of that very thing, just worship. I know we were in worship earlier. Praise your name. Jesus.
Praise your name.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we worship You right now. We just release Your virtue, Lord. Those that have come to this conference, those that are watching the conference, those that are watching now, those that will watch tomorrow, we release the power of God that, Lord, that there is no weak and sickly among us. That there is no weak and sickly among us. That there is no weak and sickly among us. These things may sound fantastic to the mind, but Lord, this is the hour to go past anything that's an argument from the soul. And in the name of Jesus, those that are here in this conference, those that are watching, those that will be a part of it this week, that they're not suffering with agonizing pain, that they're not suffering in their bodies, we release the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not say in your heart, saith the Lord, this thing has been here a long time, and I must fight it myself. I must war and do this with the long hours of petition and confession. Yes, that will work. But believe me now, saith the Spirit of grace, for instantaneous results. Believe me now that the price paid at the cross was enough. And even as you have stood in faith, believe for the hour. Believe for the present. Believe for the words spoken to you present tense, saith the Lord. You will see an ease in your body. You will see an ease in your emotions, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For the enemy that has come to say to you that this thing will not be reconciled, it will not be healed. Know this, that everything that is fighting for that purpose is to divert you from your assignment, says the Spirit of the Lord. But each one of you nestle in to the presence of God. Get in a place this week of knowing that I am the Lord who heals you and I am the Lord who is pleased with you for being in this place or tuning in to these services. I'm thrilled, says the Spirit of the Lord, that you're part of this. I pronounce on you the blessings of the revivalists, those going forward and those being a part of this latter-day movement, says the Lord. Stand fast in these things. Rejoice in where you're at. Know that there is so much more to be had, but rejoice with an expectation of where you're at and where I'm taking you, says the Lord. Those of yesteryear who came to a place where great things were done so that you speak of them now as in history to say what great things were done then, those then were feeling my pleasure. So I say unto you, take upon yourself that same pleasure. That I christened them with a pleasure to know that they were in the center of my will as they gravitated to that place, knowing that they were part of something that I was doing. So know this, that in your expectation there is a place of pleasure that I will pronounce on you, and I have, says the Spirit of the Lord. So take this pleasure into your rest. Take this pleasure into your awakening. Take this pleasure as you enter into my house with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Expect. Do not turn to your weaknesses. Do not list them by number. But rather, know that I am there in grace to change those things as you go forward in me, says the Lord. But rather, take the hour, take the season, take the week, take that which you've set aside and I've set aside for the purpose of bringing forth this revelation that revival is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah.